This is Digital Story Podcast number 971, October 29th, 2024. Today's theme is the iPad Mini A17 Pro, nimble powerhouse for photographers. I'm Derek Story. Combined with iOS 18.1, the iPad Mini A17 Pro is a compact photo powerhouse that fits practically in any camera bag. I've been putting one through its paces, and I have a lot to report on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I've been waiting for this iPad for quite a while. I have the iPad Mini 5, and this is technically, this is not technically the iPad Mini 7. Technically, Apple is calling it the A17 Pro. I think you're going to see the rest of the world calling it the iPad Mini 7, though. Just a little bit of time for that to happen. At any rate, so there was the iPad Mini 5, which I believe I got back in 2019. And then the iPad Mini 6. And the iPad Mini 6 had some nice updates. You could use better Apple Pencils. You got USB-C for connectivity, you know, stuff like that. But this Mini is the best Mini I've ever seen. It's the one I've been waiting for. And what makes it so exciting is because of, in my opinion, it had to be robust in order to accommodate Apple Intelligence. So this is a case where we benefit from artificial intelligence without ever having to use artificial intelligence. They just needed to have the hardware to be able to accommodate artificial intelligence, which means we benefit for all the stuff we like to do, primarily photo editing. But this thing does a lot way beyond that. This is an 8-inch iPad, a little bit bigger than 8 inches, and it fits in everything. I tried it in all sorts of camera bags. I even put it in a little Think Tank mirrorless mover, the i25, which is the smallest camera bag that I would carry for, let's say, a travel photo shoot or something like that. It fits in there. I mean, it fits everywhere. It only weighs just a hair over a half a pound. So, I mean, a lot of my lenses weigh more than that. It's feather-like, yet it feels really good when you hold it. I have the Apple case for it, and so you just fold the case back, and it's very comfortable. You got plenty of grip. It's very nice when you're doing things like, you know, sitting on the couch and just noodling around with it. Or if you like to read books, like I do on the iPad Mini, then it's great for being propped up in bed. You can hold it easily or just rest it on your knees or whatever. It seems like whatever you want to do, it can accommodate you. And I really like that about the Mini. I love the form factor for the Mini. Now, the thing about it is, of course, for photography, for editing, some people aren't thrilled about the smaller screen for editing. They go, no, I need more real estate. I need bigger. I can understand that, especially if you're working on some really serious stuff. But I have to tell you, a lot of editing that I do is, you know, I want to take these pictures that I just photographed. I want to duck into a Starbucks or something. I want to load a few of them that I think are really good. And then I want to get them out there to somebody. I want to share them. I want to show them. And of course, the iPad Mini is excellent for showing pictures on, but, you know, once they're on the Mini, then they're on your iPhone and they're on everything else. However, as good of a photographer as I am, I'm still not perfect in camera. Far from it. You know, I have my tongue in cheek here. Images often need a bit of touch-up. They need a little tonal adjustment. They need color adjustment. They may even need to remove a few distracting elements. And that's where you want to be able to, you know, work on them easily, turn them around quickly, and not have to lug around a laptop. And not lugging around a laptop is a big deal because my laptop is fairly heavy. I have a MacBook Pro M1, And I love it because it has all the ports and everything that I need. So for workshops and things like that, it's really fantastic. But when I'm just banging around on the road there, I don't really need that much weight. And at a half a pound, the iPad mini is very alluring. If only it could get my work done, but wait, it can, it can. So let me dig into it a bit here. Let's talk about why it can get the work done. As with all iPads, they have various models to choose from. Now we're talking about the A17 processor, the Pro, in all of them, and that is the same processor that is in the iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max. It's a great processor, and it's really snappy on the iPad mini. So then what do you get with it? Well, for photographer types, I'm recommending 256 gigabytes of storage. They have 128, 256, and 512. I think 256 is a sweet spot. And especially if you have iCloud or you have Adobe Cloud or whatever you're using, if you have some sort of connectivity beyond on-device, 256 will be plenty. I checked my iPad Mini 5 before I sent it in. I traded it in and got money for it from Apple, which I thought was really cool. Of the 256 on that one, I was only using about 100 gigabytes. I use it for photos and stuff all the time. I mean, I just use it. I don't even think about it. I just use it. I just do what I want. And it still had plenty of space on there. So I think 256 is plenty for most of us, but they do have a 512 gigabyte version. Now, prices start going up, 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 and especially with Apple, when you start adding storage. So it's like a $200 difference between the 256 and the 512. What I would rather do is spend my money on getting cellular. And having cellular in the iPad is just a wonderful thing. I just like it so much. It becomes more versatile than your laptop in the sense that you don't have to have a Wi-Fi network to connect to in order to do basic things like check email and all that stuff. And we all know how that feels because we all have smartphones, right? Well, having that same freedom on the iPad is really great. Now, I added it to my existing AT&T plan, and it wasn't very much at all. Now, I have a family plan, and I think they charged me something like an extra $13 a month. However, the setup fee or the connection fee, you know, they dinged me one time on that, and so that one kind of hurt. But going forward after that, the monthlies aren't bad at all. And it's just really nice having that. Plus, you get location data and all that stuff with the cellular model. So if you take the 256 and the cellular, then that gets you up to around $749. The base model is $499. Okay, and that's with 128 gigs and Wi-Fi only. So you're looking at an extra $250. Now, I will say that my iPads usually last 4 to 5 years for me. So if I, you know, spread out that extra $250 over those 5 years, and it's an extra $50 a year, and I get a lot of functionality. So at any rate, that's what I recommend, the 256 plus cellular, if you can go that route. And of course, that's the route I went. Because when I recommend something, that's usually what I figured out to do for myself. All right, now setting up the iPad, very easy these days if you're already in the Apple ecosystem, right? You just take your iPhone, you put it next to the iPad. It has you scan this little weird nuclear looking thing. And then it says, do you want to transfer your settings over? You say yes. And then it just takes care of everything. It's actually pretty nice. Now, the only thing that I had to do, of course, and I would expect to do this, I want to do this, which is then like all my banking apps and everything, they're on there, but they go, hey, we don't recognize this device. And so I had to go through two-step verification the first time through on all those apps. But I want that because I want that security. So initial setup is easy. And then, you know, yeah, you're going to spend an extra little bit of time each time you log into things. So what I did is I just spent one evening just kind of logging into things to get it all out of the way. If you're not in the Apple ecosystem, setup is still pretty easy. You just have to fill in the information instead of just having it automatically transfer over. Either way, you're up and running pretty fast. Now it's going to offer you a software update also. And chances are you don't have 18.1 on the iPad when you get it because, well, 18.1 just came out today as I'm recording this podcast on Monday. So you probably want to do that update. Just go ahead and take care of it then. And then your Mini is up to date and ready to rock. And then you can start thinking about what photography software am I going to put on there. If you're in the Adobe ecosystem, Lightroom Mobile on this new iPad is just crazy good. I mean, it's nuts how good it is. It runs really well. The UI is designed for the smaller screen space, and so it's pretty easy to navigate. Now, I'm using an Apple Pencil Pro with it, and the Apple Pencil Pro is excellent with the iPad Mini. For one thing, it charges wirelessly, and it just clicks onto the side of the iPad, and it charges when you click it on, and you know, you never really have to think about it. But it also has very nice touch when you hover over the screen. The screen reacts by showing you, hey, oh, you're hovering over this or you're hovering over that, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's really excellent for image editing on a smaller LCD, on a smaller surface, because it's so precise. It's, you know, you look at the point on an Apple Pencil and then you look at your fingertip. And you can probably do that math no problem. The point is much more accurate. So using the pencil with Lightroom Mobile is just a terrific experience. And one of the things that I was really impressed with on the Lightroom side is how many features they give us. Like, for instance, you have lens blur with it. You have, you know, content fill, content aware fill. You have all that sort of stuff. You have, it feels like, almost everything that you have in the Lightroom version on the Mac. I'm not talking about Lightroom Classic. I'm just talking about, you know, Lightroom. Feels like it has almost everything that's in there. You can import from an SD card into Lightroom using the app. You can export parameters, you know, just like you're on a computer. You get to put the parameters, and then you choose files, and then if you have a hard drive or whatever plugged into the port on the Mini, then in files you just pick that device and you export onto the flash drive or whatever you have or wherever you want. You can also export on device too. Once you get the knack of working with the file system in iOS and then combined with the USB-C port where you can plug practically anything that you have into it, it's really slick. You know, in the old days where you used to feel like things were trapped inside your mobile device or inside an older iPad, none of that is happening anymore at all. So I would say that, you know, Lightroom on the new iPad, you know, Mini A7 Pro is definitely a joy. I just really enjoy using it on there. The images look fantastic when I export them out and then I look at them on other devices. It's cool stuff. And if you're already in the Adobe ecosystem, if you already have the photography plan for $9.99 a month, you have Lightroom for iOS. Tap into it. Take a look at it and see what you think. I think you'll really enjoy it. I mean, you can even adjust for CA and things like that. I mean, and if you're doing RAW files, I mean, it's pretty much game over. There's another app, though, I'm going to mention in a minute that's also very good with RAW files. All right, Apple Photos. You know, we tend to overlook the app that's bundled with the hardware because, well, it can't be good, right? It's bundled with the hardware. I didn't have to go through any pain to get it. Apple Photos in iOS 18.1 is good. It's fun. I mean, not only does it have all the editing stuff that you would want, including my favorite slider, the Brilliance slider, which is a great algorithm. It has all that sort of stuff. The UI is nice and clean, as you would expect, but it has tricks up its sleeve as well. For instance, if you ever shoot videos with your iPhone, you know, just little short things, because a video is more appropriate in the moment than still pictures. Sometimes videos are. But the thing about videos, most of us being still photographers, hate editing them because it seems so much harder than editing a photo. Not true with photos. Those videos that you shoot with your iPhone, you can edit them in Photos. I mean, tonal adjustment, sharpening, color, all that stuff. All the same tools that you have for still photographs, you have for the video. And it's as easy to use as editing still photographs. And it works fantastic. It just absolutely works fantastic. And I don't think a lot of people realize that you can make adjustments to your little videos using Photos, but you can, and it's easy, and they look great. So that's another major trick up its sleeve. Now, with iOS 18.1, the first Apple Intelligence things that we get for photography is the cleanup tool. And basically what the cleanup tool does is what you've seen other hardware and software do, where if you have a distracting element in a photo, the AI identifies it, kind of knows what's distracting and what's not. It kind of vibrates or glows or undulates or whatever. And then you just tap on it and it goes away. You tap on it, another one, and it goes away. Or you can circle things you want to go away. Again, it's really nice with the pencil, but you can use your fingertip as well. I tested this. I have an article that's also published on medium.com, and I'll put a link to it. I'll put a free link to it in the show notes, so you can check that out as well, because it has a ton of illustrations and screenshots and stuff. And so I had this train shot. Train was coming in and the train was departing. It looked really neat, kind of formed a cool V sort of thing. But there were like two people standing in the middle of my frame, and they were just standing there. They didn't move or anything. One was, I think, a train person, and the other one was just someone waving to somebody. So I said, okay, this is a perfect thing for Apple Intelligence. So I pulled it up in Photos on the new iPad mini. Right away, it identified these two things, going, you probably don't want these, do you? And I go, no, I don't. Tapped on them, and they just went away, and it was beautiful. I mean, the background was, you know, matched and everything. You get this in Photos as well. So Photos is pretty slick. The search is improving, as always, because of intelligence. All this stuff is going on. It's a nice little app, and if you haven't used it for a while, if you get the new iPad with 18.1, try it. I think you will go, oh, this is much better than I remember. And then the third app I want to recommend that I think is really nice, especially for people who aren't Adobe people, is Raw Power. Raw Power on the iPad mini is terrific. It really bridges a lot of things. First of all, you can either tap into devices that you've plugged in to the iPad, rather SD cards or flash drives, and work on photos that way. It will tap into your Photos database. It's fully integrated with the database, so you can, you know, do things that way. You can save things to the Photos database, so they're automatically, you know, backed up to iCloud. And all that integration stuff is really slick and smooth, but it allows you to work on RAW files, and it gives you a whole bunch of tools that you don't get in other apps, such as a channel mixer, for example, a really great LUTs, all, you know, and the LUTs that come loaded with it are fantastic, solid tools, and especially for people that like working on their images with tools, you know what I mean, and not letting the application dictate it so much. And it's not subscription. It's $9.99 for a perpetual license, and the guys are always working on it. This thing is updated all the time. It is a fantastic application, and it just got more fantastic because the iPad is so nice, you know, and it runs beautifully on it. So those are the three apps that I recommend, you know, Lightroom Mobile, a Photos app, give it another look, and then Raw Power. It's the best $9.99 you'll ever spend if you like doing mobile photography. And by the way, they also have a version for the Mac too. So you can, you know, you can get a version for the Mac as well. I just want to talk about a few accessories for this thing. Now that we have USB-C available, a Samsung flash drive, 256 flash drive, bang, works fantastic. I have an Acer SD card reader that takes both SDs and micro SDs. Very compact, bang, works fantastic. I have this cool little thing called a Moko folding stand, M-O-K-O. By the way, all this stuff is in the article that I'm publishing on Medium. That link will be in the show notes, and you can see pictures of all this stuff and get links to all of it. That folding stand is like, it folds flat, but it's really interesting. When you open it up, it has adjustable angles, like five different adjustable angles, and the iPad mini just fits in it perfect. So this folding stand weighs virtually nothing, almost flat, yet is the perfect stand for the iPad. It even has little rubber feet on the bottom, so it doesn't slide around on the table or anything like that. And you can get two of them in a kit for something. Let me see, I got it right here. Two of them in a kit from Amazon for $9. Now you can put your smartphone in there and you can put all sorts of other stuff in there. But for the iPad mini, they are a godsend. And you might think, oh, I don't need two. Well, you do, because you're going to have like one in the backpack and one on your desk, you know, that kind of thing, and just have them there. Fantastic thing. And then we have a USB-C version of the Apple keyboard. Is really nice with this iPad mini, in large part because it behaves just like you would expect it to for really the first time. I had to jump through hoops before. And with this one, you know, the Magic keyboard, the compact one, it connects wirelessly to the iPad. And all the little functions work, like screen brightness, volume, you know, start and pause, all that kind of stuff works. The only thing that didn't work on it, and I'm waiting for the new USB-C one to come, because I was just using one of my older ones, is that the arrow keys didn't work for advancing from one photo to the next in the photo software. And I thought, oh, come on, really? You're not giving me the arrow keys for photos? I mean, it works for the cursor and all that stuff, but I want it for pictures. We'll see if the new one can accommodate that. I won't have that till like Thursday or so. But the Bluetooth keyboard, again, weighs like half a pound, slides in anywhere. So you have the iPad mini, you have the Bluetooth keyboard, and you have your little stand. So everything is less than a pound and a half, like it's a pound and a quarter for all of that. Fits in any little backpack or whatever you want. But you can do your work on it. In fact, I wrote the article for Medium.com on the iPad mini with the Bluetooth keyboard. And it went fantastic. I use iWriter Pro for my software, which runs on the Mac and it runs on iOS as well. I wrote the entire Medium article, about 1,800 words, did all the illustrations on the iPad mini. I just really wanted to do everything on there. So the Bluetooth keyboard, if you really want to be able to answer a whole bunch of email or do something, having that, I just think makes a big difference. Final thoughts here. This is the iPad mini that I've been waiting for. I'm going to get years and years and years of use out of it. I'm really excited about it, as you can tell. And I just really like the idea of being able just to travel with my iPhone for taking pictures, a mirrorless camera around my neck, let's say the OM1 with a little zoom lens on it, and then the iPad mini, and just know for those very few ounces that I can do almost anything I want, anywhere that I want. These are great times for nimble photographers. iPadOS 18.1 now available with these Apple Intelligence features. This is just a little report that's on BGR.com, Boy Genius, and I have a link to it in the show notes so you can read the entire article. But what I like about them is if you have a device that is Apple Intelligence capable, and that would be an iPhone 15 Pro, iPhone 15 Pro Max, I think any of the M computers, the new iPad mini, any of the M iPads, and then of course the new iPhone 16. These are some of the things that are in this first wave of Apple Intelligence, you know, and it's coming out in waves. They're going to roll it out over a period of time. So you get writing tools so that you can rewrite, proofread, and summarize text using Apple Intelligence to save you a lot of times. They said that they've improved Siri. It actually now can sort of maintain context between requests. And even if you stumble over words or kind of change directions on what you're saying in mid-sentence, it will follow you. It can follow you. So that's kind of nice. Notifications improved. Priority messages and mail. You know, there's a lot of stuff. Summarization. You know, a lot of this stuff that comes out, I don't think is very sexy, but hey, it's wave one, right? But the thing that you do get, which I talked about earlier, is cleanup. And cleanup in Photos is pretty slick and it's pretty nice. And we're going to get more goodies from Apple Intelligence in Photos. So if you wanted a list of the new features, if you have a capable device for running Apple Intelligence, this is a nice little list here on BGR.com that just sort of summarizes everything and describes what it is. Pretty handy stuff. The new M4 iMac aims to be Apple's best value for photographers. And this is an article on petapixel.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. So another thing that happened, so the iPad mini is out now, and then today on Monday, not only when Apple released 18.1, they also announced this new M4 iMac in multiple colors, very attractive colors. I particularly like the blue one, but I like blue, so that's no surprise there. Let me read you just a bit about what they have to say here. Apple's refreshed iMac lineup features new M4 Apple Silicon, supercharging the popular all-in-one desktop computer series. The new Apple iMac featuring a powerful M4 chip, Apple first introduced earlier this year in its redesigned iPad Pro tablets, sports the same ultra-thin design of its predecessor while introducing numerous improvements to usability and performance. With the move to M4, the first for a Mac lineup, the refreshed iMac family is up to 1.7 times faster for daily productivity tasks and up to 2.1 times faster for high-end workflows like photo and video editing. That's compared to the original M1-powered iMac. Apple specifically cites performance improvements when applying complex filters and effects inside apps like Adobe Photoshop and Premiere Pro, two powerhouse editors used by many content creators. With the move to M4, which includes a more powerful neural engine, the iMac runs Apple Intelligence. Apple calls the new desktop the world's best all-in-one for AI, largely thanks to the upgrade to M4. The new iMac's 24-inch 4.5K Retina display now comes with nano texture glass option, a first for this iMac series, and mirroring Apple's nano texture addition to the iPad Pro earlier this year. Apple says the nano texture glass option for the iMac dramatically reduces reflections and glares while maintaining excellent image quality. As for ports, a power user's best friend, the iMac now features four Thunderbolt 4 compatible USB-C ports, allowing users to connect additional accessories like fast external storage docks and up to two 6K external displays. Wireless connectivity is also improved. The new computer supports Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.3. The new iMac with M4 is available to order now, starting at $1,299, and will begin shipping to customers and arrive at retailers on November 8th. And then, of course, as with any Apple product, you start upgrading and that price is also going to go up. But even if you topped it out totally with everything, I think the most you can spend on that is $2,699. And most folks are going to be in the middle somewhere on that. So figure around for, you know, a photographer type such as we are, I'm guessing probably around $1,800 will get you a very nice model that would be able to do everything that you want for probably a long time. There's more details in this article about the iMac, and the link is in the show notes. All right, stick care of a little virtual camera club business. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community month in and month out. They also have their own hangout on Derek's Story Online, the Inner Circle Space, and they will receive discounts on all the new workshops coming up for 2025. If you're wondering what's happening with those workshops, I'm almost there. There's always all these little details I have to kind of iron out before I announce them, but I'm very close, so stay tuned for that as well. In the meantime, though, if you want to get discounts and if you want to find out about the workshops before they're announced to the general public, now's a good time to become an Inner Circle member. You get that discount and you get all the benefits right away. If you do want to join us, click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can sign up there and then you'll get an email from me inviting you to our Inner Circle space. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. And finally, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, makers of premium inkjet printing paper in a variety of surfaces and a variety of sizes, and then all sorts of cool things to go with it. You know, it's not just making prints, right? You can make greeting cards, you can make posters, you can get envelopes of those greeting cards, glassine sleeves. You can even get ink for Canon and Epson printers. You can get tons of instruction to help you better do that stuff. You can get advice on what kind of paper to get for the kind of printing that you want to do. It goes on and on and on. And it all starts when you click on that Red River paper tile that's running on all the pages of the Digital Story. A big thanks to them for supporting our community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. In the meantime, get out there, take some pictures, but stay safe, and see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.